I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tools Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today. We got Brandon Coach Lundberg.
How's it going?
It's going all right. How you doing, Coach? Head in the sky?
Oh, yeah. Just working my ass off as usual.
Drawing up those heavenly X's and O's. And we got the substitute.
Yeah, yeah.
He's only in town for a week. But in that week, he bound to teach. We got CSPN McLaughlin.
Everybody get passing grades.
We watching 5 videos today. Guys, we got a lot to talk about today. We got some sad stuff. Got the trivia. We got NFL review. I mean, it is kind of sad, man.
Sad for some, maybe anger for others.
True. Sad and anger right next to each other in the emotion wheel. John Gruden.
Who?
Ex-beloved coach. I mean, everyone loved Gruden. Like, everyone loved Gruden, right? Who hated Gruden? Like, some people thought he was outdated, but everyone loved the Chucky, loved him for his antics, his facial expressions, all the above. He was the epitome of a caricature of a football coach. But man, we all knew football used to be a toxic environment, right? Like back in the day, football, it was a toxic sport. Things were said and done all over that we didn't agree with.
Still.
But there was always a line. And still, but it's gotten a lot better. It's gotten tolerable. But there was always a line, you know? There's always been a line because it's been a sport that maybe the commissioner in the front office sees color still, but in that locker room, usually don't see color.
No, it's a brotherhood.
Right.
It's a brotherhood. You go out there and you fight together, you die together, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised he made it this long, right?
And John Gruden was such a rallier of men. Like, people loved playing for this man. You never heard anything but good things.
I guess that might be the problem. He's a rallier of men, but he's definitely not a rallier of women.
Yeah. A KKK rallier of men.
You know, look, I think this isn't too terribly surprising.
It's really not. Like a Florida dude who loves going to Hooters.
You know, my initial thought was, oh, cool. Maybe we can get John Gruden back in the Monday Night Football booth. But then more emails came on. I was like, well.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't happening.
I want to know what the second email said, because they had to be extra spicy for a Davis to come out and so who has a long history of his daddy saying sketch stuff to come out and be like, all right.
I'm pretty sure a lot of these emails were going back and forth between some of the front office people. So I'm not 100%.
Maybe they're covering their own. There.
I know some of the specific emails that they alluded to were conversations between him and Bruce Allen for the Washington football team. But, you know, it's quite puzzling that I don't know if you guys know, but these emails came to light during the NFL investigation of, you know, I guess just what's been going on with ownership and upper management for the Washington football team. So they scoured through 600,000 emails, and the only guy implicated of doing anything or saying anything wrong in private is John Gruden. It sounds like John Gruden just doesn't make quite enough to put all that stuff to bed. It's just hard to believe that many emails.
I mean, this man's walking away from $70 million. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's probably why they were looking to cut him. And they needed a way. We need an out. There's probably a stipulation in the contract that would, you know, erase that additional $70 million.
Look, I'm not for cancel culture. When the initial reports came out last week, I said, well, you know, it's not right. It's wrong. I could see how someone could interpret, you know, his trope as racist. But I didn't necessarily think he deserved to be canceled. But then he hit the trifecta. You know, not only can we just take your interpretation as just racism now, but you're also homophobic and misogynistic. So, I mean, you hit the trifecta, brother. I mean,
it's terrible that the homophobic stuff came out too when he has like the first openly like starting gay player in the NFL.
Right. He came out and said, we stand behind him and, you know, whatever, whatever. He There were emails about how he didn't agree with female referees. So, I mean, it's loaded. It's loaded. And it's just funny because, you know,
you can't have a female referee. Their periods attract bears. We can't have bears rolling around on the field.
Cancel culture, man. He tried to get Dave Chappelle for his new stand-up. They couldn't get him. So they was like, all right, we'll settle for John.
So do we see John coming back in, like, maybe a front office role somewhere? I don't
know.
No, bro. Not a chance.
No, he's done. There's nobody who's going to hire that guy. They're not going to touch him.
Which is unfortunate because, you know what, Lewis Riddick and Greasy, they've made strides in the Monday Night Football booth. But Jesus, man, since John left, Monday Night Football hasn't been quite as good.
Even Booger has gotten a little better. A little better.
Yeah, but he's not in the booth.
I'm just glad Jason Witten's gone, man. Stuttering Stanley over here. Just, oh my goodness, that was brutal. Jason Witten, I love you. You're one of the greatest tight ends of all time, but you suck.
It's like the Cleveland Browns trying to find a quarterback before they landed on Baker.
Oh, well, Stephen A. Smith said the first thing I agreed with him on a hot take in a while. He said, "You are never winning the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield as your quarterback." And I agree 100%.
Yeah, that might be true.
All right, guys.
It might not be true.
Let's briefly go over here. With we're about a third of the way into the season now, right?
Yeah, let's see. Week 6. I'm not a math guy. We just completed. Yeah, we're
that extra game roughly. Messes it up.
Yeah,
I know it does, now. Right?
So, well, but now it's time we got a view. Like, let's talk MVP. Just briefly before we jump into the games.
How about this? I got a suggestion, Woody. You give us MVP. Brandon gives us Defensive Player of the Year, and I'll give you the Rookie of the Year.
Well, all right, that everyone, sucks because I just wrote an article about it.
I'll go Defensive Player, Brandon. You can go Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
But everyone, give three candidates.
All right, you guys go.
CJ, you can start it off with Rookie.
Let's see. Rookie of the Year, man. Look, I didn't really do my research on this, but off the top, obviously, Jamar Chase, he's having an incredible start to the season. Obviously, there were a lot of discussions about drops during the preseason. That has not been an option. I don't think he's registered a drop through 5 games. And then I'll throw you another one, Micah Parsons. Okay, he has been absolutely the best rookie. He has a plus grade as a rusher and also as a run stopper and in pass coverage. So, I mean, the guy can do it all. He's looked great rushing the passer or as an off-the-ball linebacker. So those are my two Rookie of the Year candidates right now.
All right, my Defensive Player of the Year candidates, I'm going to save the best for last. But right now, there's a dude that's holding a team together by a thread, and his name is Bobby Wagner. I think that people just he's never gotten the credit he deserves except for like a couple seasons, just week in, week out. Not only is he going to lead you in tackles, he's going to lock down a tight end. He can even guard slower receivers in the slot. I love Bobby Wagner. He's coming in at third for me. My second overall Defensive Player of the Year is going to be Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, he's just taking it to the next level this year. Just superhuman, just unbelievable speed off the jump on the line. But my number one leader for Defensive Player of the Year, I know my man C is going to be happy, Trayvon Diggs. This man is he's the best corner in the NFL. He's looking like the next Deion Sanders, except the Deion that actually likes to get his hands dirty and hit somebody. Like, Trayvon Diggs is a dog, and he will take it to the house. Like, this man is the real deal. Holyfield, 6 interceptions through 6 games. Five games. Like, just wrap your head around that. Ball Brandon, it. Throw us your MVP.
Yeah, so I wrote an article about this. It'll be out tonight or tomorrow. So if you want to check it out, go to footballscout365.com. But I'll just throw these out there with not a ton of information. Tom Brady would be the top guy for NFL MVP at this point, obviously. You've got Dak Prescott. I have him at number 2 right now on my list. And then after last night or before last night, I did have Kyler Murray. I didn't even have Lamar Jackson on the list. And then Lamar Jackson convinced me that he should be on the list. And after further review, I think Lamar Jackson's going to end up being number 3 or number 4 on this list. It went from 5 to 6 players because of him, because I do have Kyler. I do have Josh Allen. I do have Justin Herbert on this list and a full breakdown that includes, you know, their strength of schedule and the reasoning behind why they are on this list. So, but again, Brady is the front runner right now. And yeah, I don't
feel
know.
Like none
Dak
of those
Prescott
guys,
as well as number two. He's right there.
None of those guys except Lamar has a team leaned on more.
Look at the Cowboys without Dak. We already know what they are without Dak Prescott. So you remove somebody like that, it's a huge difference. Same thing with Lamar, but definitely nice. Interesting set of quarterbacks right there. That it's obviously going to be a quarterback, right? So
I love it. See, kick us off with some trivia.
Hey, I love it when you kick it to me. I feel like this is like my 5 minutes to shine. You know, you guys never give me any love on the pod, or
it's four
you know,
minutes.
You guys
now.
Always beating me up and bullying me and stuff. So
3 minutes.
All right, I'm just joking. Again, you guys asked me before the show if I had a 30 clip in the blicky. I've been super busy the past week. I got one round in the blicky. One round. But it's a good one, though. And then after this week, you know, I'll reload. So without further ado.
Backfire.
Hey, did you guys see the hint in the outline?
See the hint?
Yes, I do. Listen it. To the students. I didn't even post the hint in the outline, kid in the corner of the class.
Oh, I'm just looking at where you said, "This is America." Are we surprised?
That was in reference to the John Gruden.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
All right, so without further ado, all right, so look, currently, Kyler Murray is completing 75% of his passes. If the season ended today, that would be an NFL record. So with that being said, who holds the record for best completion percentage in a season? Who holds the record for best completion percentage in a season? Woody, I'm going to go to you first, then I'll kick it to Brandon. Brandon gave me that look like he actually might be able to. Bro, we've been doing trivia for, I don't know, probably 8 months. I think you've gotten one question right, which yeah, is impressive to me, but you might have a chance today.
I think...
It's going to be Drew Brees, probably.
Your guess is Drew Brees?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. Oh, former Giant, huh?
Well, he didn't do nothing on the Giants.
Yeah, I know how much you love Kurt, though.
I do, man. That's the type of story. I loved Kurt when he was on the Rams, man. This man battled for no reason. Everyone told him to screw off. Like 8 years into his career,
right,
and then
look, that's cool
randomly.
About Kurt. We love Kurt.
He's got a movie coming out, bro.
We're losing that's listeners right now. All right, shout out to Kurt.
That's not good for his movie, then.
Shout out to Kurt. All right, so who holds the record for best completion percentage in a season? Brandon Lundberg, you gave me Drew Brees. Woody, you gave me Kurt Warner. Big shout out to my man Brandon Lundberg. Made me eat my words. He's now gotten two trivia questions right.
I thought it was.
In 2018, he completed 74.4% of his passes.
That's insane. That's insane.
It is insane. But, you know, it. I don't want to put an asterisk beside something like that.
Even if they're short, it's insane. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, look, we saw Drew Brees last 4 or 5 years in the league, right? He was a rhythm-based passer. It was timing, it was rhythm, and it was controlling the game with his mind, right? So,
yeah.
That's what Drew Brees did, and he's a hell of a player, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Wow,
it's true. All right, guys. Well, let's jump right in.
Real quick, I'm sorry. Real quick, okay. I just found a common correlation that's pretty interesting here. Uh-oh. All right, Drew Brees, 6 foot quarterback. You know, we always say this stuff about quarterbacks being 6 feet or less.
Kyler Murray, 5'8".
Exactly, and Kyler Murray might break the record. So here we are. We always preach about quarterback size.
Yeah. Russ is 6 foot too.
Yep, there you go. So just wanted to bring it all together because that just kind of hit me here. So
yeah.
All right, guys, let's jump right into it. We had a nasty, nasty, awesome weekend of football. We had the most amount of missed field goals in how long? I don't know. Shout out to the Bengals and Packers. One of the weirdest games I've ever watched. But let's do a Monday night recap real quick, where we had our only overtime game this week, but also heard an interesting fact last night. First time the NFL has started off with an overtime game in each of the first 5 weeks. So that's pretty cool. We're getting some good stuff each week. But the Ravens and Colts, they started off on fire in this one. Well, not on fire, but, you know, with my my new best friend, Jonathan Taylor, who just made a shabby little trade for in our fantasy league.
Looked good yesterday.
He looked great yesterday after I was getting mad smack from people who remain unnamed, telling me that this man wasn't explosive. First play, 76-yard touchdown.
Whoa. Time out. Let's pump the brakes. Let's backpedal like Deion Sanders a little bit. I didn't say he wasn't explosive. I said that Indy offense has been disappointing, and that offensive line has underperformed. Yesterday, they played up to par.
They did.
So, I mean, look, even though Indy lost, it looks like a step in the right direction. I don't believe in moral victory.
Well, they've had a really tough first four games. Who is it? Seattle, Rams, who were the other ones? The Ravens and Minnesota, yeah. All close games, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and I mean, Tennessee.
I feel like it's not much to discuss from Indy here. I think they're trending the right way. However, it could be too late. You can't put yourself in this type of hole.
Not in that division.
You know what? That's fair. The AFC South looks pretty. But
they just need to go on like a three-game run.
Woody, whoever, the AFC South is going to get one team in. So you have to win the division.
Yeah.
You will have to win the division.
That's true. Well, with the way the Titans receivers are staying banged up, then you never know. But when you got Derrick Henry leading the horses, that's a tough one to catch.
Yeah. This game was more about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson just taking the game back.
Before we get to the Ravens, because there's a lot to get to with the Ravens, I was very pleased with Carson Wentz, how he looked in this game compared to the past games. His ankles are looking a little bit more healthy. He was making hard throws to the sidelines, timing throws. He was putting the ball up for Michael Pittman to go get it. He looked more like a good starter that he used to.
He did. I can't give Carson Wentz any mic time. You're 100% right in everything you said.
I mean, they were in position to win the game. I mean, you're up 16. I mean, the probability of the Ravens being able to score two touchdowns and two-point conversions to tie the game in the first place, super low. But, you know, this is Lamar's second double-digit come-from-behind win. This was the largest come-from-behind victory in Lamar Jackson's career. So this kind of catapulted him, in my mind, back into that MVP, NFL MVP race. Was he perfect? No. He had some off-target throws. He had one where he missed Hollywood Brown in the end zone for a touchdown in the game. But then he had some others that were dimes. And I think it's just that run threat that really puts pressure on the defense. There's just some things that they're doing offensively right now that's really impressive in using his abilities. He's not Tom Brady. He's not even Russell Wilson, but he is just the best athlete on the field in every game that he plays in, pretty much. So
Hollywood Brown, like I've been making the joke, he looks like a low discount Reek, but nobody can keep up with this man this year. Like, but he's missing three touchdowns from drops.
He's got like six still.
Like this, no one can stick this man deep this year. He's outrunning everybody.
Yeah, but think about when Rashad Bateman comes back in a week. That's just going to add to that, you know.
They won't make their passing game better. I don't think Lamar Jackson is not a good enough passer, in my opinion. Look, he is what he is. I'm not taking anything from him. And completed 85% of his passes last night, and you know, over 400 yards. He looked the best he has as a passer. He still didn't look great as a passer. And guess what? When we get into the postseason, it's gonna be a lot harder. This Ravens team, their playoff team, they're not legit contenders. And if you need Lamar Jackson to be Superman every single week, that's a problem. I've seen a team firsthand, the quarterback had to be Superman, and it didn't work out well.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, I know you're saying they're not a contender, but the same could be said about a lot of other teams right now that aren't really whole at the moment. So you're right. And
that's fair.
I'm with you on that. The Bills are probably the top tier team right now, you know, most complete. But I do think Baltimore has the ability to kind of get better as the season goes on. And what we saw from Lamar last night is very promising in regards to what they could look like in a playoff format. So
Baltimore's defense, is this still a strength?
Yeah. I think
Are you sure? Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about the last couple games.
No. Lamar Jackson is like their strength. Man, outside of Lamar Jackson,
the offense, running the football, CJ, and what they love to do to grind out a game and not put a lot of pressure on the defense, they don't have the guy at running back right now, and that's really hurting them. Like I said, last night, the quarterback running back exchange was a little iffy at times. It was the one by the goal line where Devontae Freeman tried to keep it and Lamar was trying to pull it at the same time and Freeman stole it from him and he felt it just looked so sloppy at times.
Look, let's be honest, because I know Lamar, your boy. So if we're going to give him praise, we got to give him some blame too. Lamar Jackson should have gave that if he was reading it right. It was a couple times right around the goal line where he made the wrong read, and then he gets a little sloppy inside the five-yard line. You know, he has three career fumbles lost at the one-yard line.
Yeah, and what's interesting about what you're saying, too, is like the running back has to make the read and the quarterback has to make a read, and you have to be on the same page, and at the same time, they weren't. It factors in, and in Lamar's mind, it almost doesn't matter who's on the edge. When he pulls his own read, he has the ability to make that guy miss or beat him to the corner no matter what. So whatever, that's just part of it, right? So anyway, before we move on, I just want to say hell of a night for Lamar Jackson.
And it's shout the out right to my step. Boy,
it's definitely the right step forward for the Ravens, I think.
Shout out to my boy Odafe Owe, who also should get some love from Defensive Rookie of the Year, possibly. Man, three sacks, got another one last night. He's looking fast off the line.
Hey, I'll cash out you $100 if you can tell me what his first name used to be.
I don't know.
Okay.
What was it?
I think it was Jason.
Okay, yeah. Jason.
Jason.
Because I tell you what, when I was doing my digging during the draft process, like it kind of confused me all the way up until 2 weeks ago, to be honest with you. I'm like, Odafe. What?
Yeah, he changed his name.
Los Angeles Rams. Rams took this one 26-17. It was closer than that, though. The Rams were bailed out in this one because Aaron Donald's helmets destroyed two Hall of Fame quarterbacks' fingers now in his career. He destroyed Drew Brees, and now he's destroyed Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Both went to the same specialist. This man's making a career off Aaron Donald's helmet.
Yeah, man, this game was – so, look, I thought both quarterbacks played, you know, kind of sloppy. Matt Stafford definitely missed some very easy
throws. He looked a lot better in the second half. A lot
that
better.
He normally make. Now, with that said, Matt Stafford, I believe he's still league leader in the NFL and QBR. The Rams, look, these guys are legit contenders. I am a bit concerned that the last 2 weeks we've seen them play – they haven't, you know, brought their A game. And the last 2 weeks, it's been divisional opponents. But I don't think we should worry. The Rams, again, they're legit. Seattle, however, this will be the first time during Russell Wilson's tenure where they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, let's talk about Seattle right now. Geno Smith comes in as a starter. Looked great when he came in to the game. And although it says he had an interception, for once in Geno's life, it wasn't his fault. Tyler Lockett slipped and just wasn't where, because he threw the ball before he slipped, and then he just wasn't where he was going to be. It was a well-thrown ball. He came in, had command of the offense, threw a dime of a touchdown to DK. Do we see maybe Seattle could stay afloat here with Geno? Is there a chance?
Maybe.
They're going to lean on the run a lot more. Alice Collins, Chris Carson.
Look, this is what I suggest. I suggest, since Seattle's paying Jamal Adams so much money, put him at quarterback. I mean,
yeah, right. Have him earn that paycheck. I think when a defense has a week to prepare for Geno Smith, I can't believe I'm even saying this, to be honest with you. It shouldn't really even matter. But when a defense does have the opportunity to prepare for him, I think he'll show what he really is. He's the backup quarterback for Seattle. But again, maybe I'm wrong. He comes through and he shows us that there's still something there for him to be, you know, a really good quarterback. Who knows? But again, this was a game, though, that pretty much solidified, I think, this division in general. You know, it's really coming down to the Rams and the Cardinals at this point. Yep. And CJ, you touched on it. They look sloppy. Both teams did. when this game, you know, as the game started. Stafford's banged up now. I think he hurt a finger, but we all know he'll play injured and all that. So I do think Stafford's taking a little bit of a step back. We all see that. He started off great. We need to see him get back going. And again, I think it just comes down to the Rams and Cardinals in this division. I don't think this is now the best division anymore, and that's to be debated. Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think I think people could argue between the AFC North and the NFC West, right? Now I think it's kind of between the AFC North and the AFC West.
I still like the AFC North just because of they're all tough teams. Like all those teams are gonna punch you in your mouth.
They've done it. You know, we've seen Baltimore and Pittsburgh be good for a decade, you know? Yeah. And then over the past few years, we've seen Cleveland come along, and this year Cincinnati is coming along. So,
yeah. Fantasy question on a bunch of people's minds. People were concerned about Robert Woods going into this game. Robert Woods, they threw him the ball a ton. I doubled down personally myself. I went out and got Robert Woods. And what do you guys think? Robert Woods stays involved in this offense more? I think him and Stafford, it showed like he's on the page now. He'll be looking for him more.
Look, Robert Woods is he's been a fringe 1,000-yard guy for the last 3 years. I don't think that changes. I think honestly,
he's been a top 15 fantasy wide receiver the last 3 years.
For sure. Honestly, I personally think Robert Woods is the most talented receiver in LA. I just think Cooper Kupp somehow.
Cooper's just good at finding that hole in the zone.
No, Cooper is good at making friends, because when Jared Goff was there, Cooper Kupp and Jared Goff was best friends. And I don't blame Cooper Kupp. I would do the same thing. And now Stafford's there, and all you hear about is how much Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford hang out and watch film and do all this stuff together.
Oh, that's it.
They all know the same beer pong game.
No, that's all. Cooper Kupp is smart.
I think it'll be a matchup thing too.
Well, here's the thing. I'm much closer to the Rams and their camp than you guys were. Robert Woods was actually the one who tried to get in Matthew Stafford. He showed up early to workouts. He sat next to Stafford in every meeting. Like, he tried to get buddy with Stafford. And I'm sure they are close. I think it was just game script the first couple games. Like, it just didn't. He just wasn't there.
Yeah.
On behalf of John Gruden, I'll say Matt Stafford probably likes Cooper Kupp better.
Wow. It's the backwards hat, right? So Daryl Henderson, like, I know before the season I thought Henderson was gonna be a top 15 running back, top 10 running back. Can he keep this up?
No, he's gonna get hurt again at some
probably.
Point.
That's best the ability. If he's healthy, maybe.
His availability.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, maybe. And that's a big maybe.
And he's a big factor. That's a big factor in what the Rams will finish with in the season. So, they're going to win the division.
For you fantasy heads out there who own Russ, I would still hold on to him. He's looking like he's shooting for week 10 right after their bye as a comeback date. So be on the lookout for that. Now, probably our best game of the weekend. These Chargers are real, boys. Chargers over the Browns, 47-42. Now, the defense, you don't see a lot of defense in that score, but I'll tell you someone who had a game. Derwin James. I believe this man had like 17 tackles. Let me double check that.
Yeah.
Hopefully he didn't get those 17 tackles off tackling his guy that caught the ball.
David Njoku's 170 yards receiving.
Yeah.
124. 70 on one play.
You know, yes, I never thought I'd see the day where the offense that has OBJ on it puts up 40-plus points, the quarterback passes for over 300 yards, and OBJ catches two of those passes for just 20 yards.
OBJ had a horrendous third down drop. It was one of the worst drops. Like, it reminded me of his last 2 years as a Giant. It was like 3rd and 5. Baker rolled out. OBJ's wide open, just coming across right near the linebackers. Just hits his hands right to the ground.
Like, listen, here's how bad the Chargers defense is, guys. The Browns were running three tight ends, and literally running the football with three tight ends probably 70% of the time. And they're basically saying, hey, we're doing this and you have to try to stop it. And the Chargers could not stop
high school level-ish.
It was like
the Chargers run defense is that bad. Their pass defense is still pretty good.
It's okay. Look, it's still
we know
they were number one against wide receivers.
Woody, we know this is one of your teams. And you know, we know you can't bank on the Giants. And so, you know, you got your LA teams. But look, man, this Chargers team, this ain't it. Are they contenders? Hell no.
Yeah,
no team gives up 42 points and say they're contenders. Now,
the
look.
Chiefs.
You've got a shot when you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert.
You know
though, so.
What I'm going to say when we bring up the Chiefs.
Patrick
you know
Mahomes
I'm going to.
But isn't Justin Herbert
no,
getting the
he's
outlier?
Not.
He's getting
you're
there,
crazy,
Woody. He's getting
crazy.
There.
You're crazy.
But he,
give the man his flowers. It's Patrick Mahomes.
What the
Josh
hell is this? Give him his flowers. Give him his flowers for what?
No.
He's doing this year.
He hasn't. He is getting there. He is almost there though.
Yeah, for 200 yards in one quarter.
His schedule.
What are we giving him his flowers for? For throwing for 200 yards in a quarter?
For beating one of the best teams in the league in the Browns and then the Chiefs too?
That's all we got to do to get flowers now?
Yeah, you don't have to do much. It's just flowers. Gosh,
but listen, guys, his schedule, though, let's be real for 1 second here and really
Herbert.
Think about it.
No, you don't. Don't you say that.
Bro, he's the real deal.
No.
But Patrick Mahomes is on another stratosphere. Like, come on,
how
am
I know you keep saying that?
Miss me with that stuff.
Herbert's Chargers have already defeated the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Browns, and then they lost a close one to the Cowboys. They beat
the
Washington football team on the road.
They should have won.
They beat Washington football team on the road, obviously bad secondary, but they've faced arguably the most difficult stretch of games to open a season, if you think about it. But the defense is a problem. It's a massive issue.
Yeah.
But Herbert looks good. He might miss some throws here and there, but the dude can freaking play.
For real, like,
cold-blooded, and there's no doubt he'll get there. He's
for
getting
sure.
there, but they need to play defense. They need to support him on that side.
Look. And that's my entire point. Do I think Justin Herbert can get to Patrick Mahomes level? Yes. Do I think outside of Patrick Mahomes, is there a quarterback who can, I guess, mitigate any deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball and lead his team to the Super Bowl just with sheer talent? Justin Herbert is the other quarterback that will potentially be able to do that one day. But this year is not it. I mean,
although last year when he came in, everybody's like overlooking him, and then boom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. He has proven some people wrong. So we could get to November and this defense has improved just enough to where they are a threat. But again, you pair him with like Josh Allen's defense in the Bills. That's
yeah.
a whole different discussion. But all you need is an adequate defense, just like the Chiefs.
A top 20 adequate. Defense. Agreed.
Yeah. Even the Chiefs are not even adequate
especially
right now, but that's in
yeah.
discussion for later.
Yo, I know Nick Chubb is like one of the most, and there's no other way to say it, one of the most beautiful runners I've ever seen. Like the way he runs with the ball is just absolutely beautiful. The cuts yeah. are seamless, like it's incredible. But who's the better running back in Cleveland right now?
It's Chubb.
Yeah. It look, I've said this since last year. Chubb is
the battery
more. Naturally gifted runner. It's just
yeah,
smooth.
It's incredible.
It's easy. His
but with
his Kareem's vision,
receiving skills too, like the all round
game. He doesn't take false steps. He sees the hole. He hits the hole. He has a burst in the open field. But then Hunt is just like a dog. Like when
yeah.
you see him run, he just runs so hard, and that's why they compliment each other. So well, because Hunt comes in, he just punches you in the mouth.
Yeah, you don't get a break when you're playing both these guys. You just
I
don't.
But if you're going against the Tennessee Titans and they sub out Derrick Henry for Jeremy McNichols,
you're
you
like
know, it's a middle linebacker. You're like,
fine, get a break
for sure.
Justin Herbert in this one, 26 of 43, 398, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Got Austin Eckler with a couple touchdowns. But Kareem Hunt, 12 carries, 61 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nick Chubb, 21 carries, 161 yards, 1 touchdown. Here's the thing that bugs me about Cleveland. When they have to throw, as of right now, And it's crazy saying this with how much money they got locked up in their wide receivers. They don't have a go-to guy.
Yeah, you're right. And Odell
There's no
Beckham,
one to look to move the chains at right
Odell
now.
Beckham is not that guy, but there is a guy emerging. And after charting that game yesterday, Donovan Peoples-Jones is slowly but surely becoming a really solid player for the Browns. So I'd keep my eyes on him. I'd also keep my eyes on David Njoku. He could emerge again and be that number one tight end for them. Jarvis will be back eventually, I think. I don't know the timetable with that. But the offense, the defense is the biggest concern right now. They've got to find ways to make stops because they will not win a championship this way.
Yeah. 49ers are Cardinals. 49ers are 2-2. Cardinals are 4-0. Cardinals won this one in a surprisingly like lackluster game. I think a lot of people thought the Cardinals were going to go ham here. I picked up the Cardinals defense in fantasy because they're going up against rookie Trey Lance in his first start.
Smart.
The Cardinals, they put up 17 points here, and it was enough. And it was the 49ers didn't do anything to the end of the game, really. Trey Lance showed some flashes like we thought he did. Still very, very raw. Yeah. And it looked like he might have sprained his knee, too. So it looks like we're going to be going right back to Jimmy G for a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. And the score was 17-10, but the Cardinals pretty much controlled the game. One of the things you have to consider, too, is you don't want to give the 49ers, if you're the Cardinals, you don't want to give them something easy, right? A short field off of a turnover or a mistake or something of that nature. So even though they didn't put pedal to the metal and destroy the 49ers, maybe they could have, but you didn't want to do that. You didn't have to necessarily. So force Trey Lance into a mistake, and then that's when you take advantage of them. But I think the Cardinals are just... They're a good team, obviously, and Murray is something else. He didn't have the greatest game, and I'll let CJ take it from here. But, yeah.
Doesn't Trey Lance remind you of somebody, the way he runs the ball?
What'd you get in that cam?
He looked like Kaepernick.
No. He looked just like the long legs, the way he runs. He looks just like Cap when
Woody,
he runs the ball.
When I turned that game on briefly and started watching it, when he was running as I flipped the channel on, and I was like, double take, joking.
The legs.
Just tell
like
that man,
deer,
don't take a knee, or he going to end up just like Kyler.
Damn.
Yeah, look, this game here, I mean, I think it's a good win for Arizona just because we've seen it already a few times this year. And, I mean, it's just kind of how things work. You get a really good victory, and you're high off of it, and then the next week sometimes – there's a letdown, and maybe one could argue that it was a letdown here, but they won. They played good enough to win. As Brandon talked about, Kyler Murray, he didn't have a great game, but he made the plays when he needed to, and he played well enough for his team to get the victory. So too many times we look at box scores and stats and this, that, and the third. Football is situational, right? Mm-hmm. Like, would you rather have Kyler Murray's numbers with a win, or would you rather throw for 350 yards, four touchdowns, and be like Kirk Cousins and lose, which we've seen in previous weeks? So, I mean, Arizona, 5-0, they're impressive.
Insane. Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins snapped out of his slump here. Do we see DeAndre be more involved in the offense moving forward? They've been leaning on everyone else but DeAndre. That touchdown was impressive, too.
Yeah,
they mossed him near the goal line.
I think the only reason we've really seen a quiet DeAndre is because obviously he hurt his ribs, and then last week he played, but I'm sure he wasn't nowhere close to being 100%. So as he gets healthy, we're going to see the real DeAndre Hopkins for sure.
And with Rondale Moore, who looks spectacular.
Not even just the catch.
Him running the football, him catching the football in the ways that they're doing it the correct way, and I love it.
He was their leading rusher, 3 carries, 38 yards.
And he could be.
I will say the two things I'm looking at most from Arizona is I want to keep an eye on that defense. I've been saying that I really want to keep a close eye on that defense. But then as far as consistently running the ball, they've had games where they have been able to run the ball. They've had games where they haven't been able to run the ball. But at the end of the game, the stats are inflated because Chase Edmonds or Kyler broke a long one. So, you know, for the remainder of the season, I am watching closely to see if they can just be, you know, if they can traditionally just run the ball, just turn around and hand it off to the back instead of having to manufacture yards with Kyler Murray or, you know, big plays. But can you move the chains with running the ball? All this stuff sounds like BS now. But when we get to December, all of that stuff is going to matter.
Yep, it will.
Why does Kyle Shanahan trade up two rounds for Trey Sermon and just treat him like he does?
Well, because sometimes one carry, guy,
after it, rushing for 89 yards and like 14 carries.
You get Kyle bad Shanahan scouting information.
Football. Yeah. I don't even mind. Trey looked good the week before. Like, he just looked good to give him a rookie one carry after having like 89 yards on 15 carries.
There's hidden things in practice that Shanahan obviously sees. Yep.
Could have went to the club, you know, Saturday night or something.
Well, this man's just out there preaching sermons. It's okay.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Bills, Chiefs. Is San Francisco done?
I'm not counting them out. Anything could happen, but.
Just, you know what? Losing this week was a detriment until Sunday night happened and until Russell Wilson hurt his finger.
Yeah.
That alone does create some hope. Yeah, for sure.
They've got pieces still. Debo, Garoppolo will be back. I kind of like getting him back in the fold and mixing Lance in as they go.
And then you got Shanahan and then the defense, which I've been on. Hey, they're not playing as we expected to see. They also have
good
a new defensive coordinator. So, you know, maybe that defense does get better as the season goes on.
If Ayuk starts doing something, they got two great wide receivers. Like, this man looked Pro Bowl worthy last year, the second half of the season, his rookie year, and he has done nothing. So if they can somehow get him involved, Debo and him, that's just a mighty combo. But
I heard he likes to party.
Did you hear that? He did go to Arizona State. That would check out. Arizona State's like the biggest party school in the nation. Does. All right, Bills, Chiefs. So the Kansas City Chiefs were the Buffalo Bills versus the Buffalo Bills. We knew the Chiefs were banged up coming into this game. They're having problems establishing the run. The defense has been Swiss cheese. Chris Jones has been out. The Bills came in just steamrolling the Chiefs. This is like Josh Allen had one of his best games of his career, most efficient. Three touchdowns. He's hurdling dudes in the open field. Ran for another touchdown. Was the Bills' leading rusher. Patrick looked great and then didn't. It almost looks like he's a little bored with the offense.
No, I think that's part of it. Look, Patrick Mahomes is so special and he's been so dominant early in his career. I really think you can put it on cruise control. I really think you can get comfortable. And when you're that good, sometimes you feel like you don't have to do what you did yesterday, right? Patrick Mahomes just has to go back to what got him to where he's at. I don't think he's the problem. I don't think that offense is the problem. The defense is the problem, but that's not necessarily why they lost versus Buffalo. The difference here is just the defense, right? We expected Buffalo's defense to be this good last year. But last year, they took a year off. This year, they're back. They're good. They're leading the NFL, best defense in the league by a mile. They lead the NFL in turnovers through five weeks, and they also lead the NFL in yards per loud. So
yeah, I mean, they're at the top of almost every statistical category. They're at or near the top. And let's talk about that Josh Allen part real fast, since you know you brought up Patrick Mahomes already. What the Bills were able to do in this game with Josh Allen, especially early on, and one of the first things, even the guys calling the game on Sunday night were explaining, obviously you could see in the run game that they were taking elements of what the Ravens were doing with Lamar Jackson in the run game early on. So that's a testament to what the Bills are doing in the creativity aspect on offense and finding ways to attack, you know, a defense that is on its heels already statistically. And I think that that's a testament, and it truly shows that the Bills are on the right track to becoming that championship caliber team. And that's why they are right now, in my eyes, the top team in the NFL at this moment. And that's a huge thing. You pair the creativity on offense, or at least the game planning aspect to it, and not just sending your guys out there to attack a defense in a particular kind of way that you're ordinarily used to. you said Patrick Mahomes looked kind of bored, right? Well, think of the game planning element that the Bills implemented and how they attack the Chiefs defense. You have to look at it from that standpoint as well. So I'm impressed with what the Bills have done so far. I'm impressed with how they won this game. It was a statement game. They are the front runners again in the AFC. I think that right now they, with their defense and the way it's playing and the way that the offense looked against the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs defense is not that great, it's really them and Tampa Bay.
I know we keep saying Chris Jones is out. Chris Jones is out. Chris Jones is out. We're leaning on the fact that Chris Jones has been out because he's been the centerpiece for that Kansas City defense for a few years now. Can Chris Jones fix this? It's starting to look bad.
He helps. Yeah. You know, in a game like this, one or two stops is the difference where it turns into a one score affair in the fourth quarter and Patrick Mahomes has a chance, right?
Chris Jones is the second most dominant defensive player in the league outside of Aaron Donald. So real Chris talk. Jones does Emma have Buckner. Chris Jones does have that type of impact. Like without him, that defense is worse in the league. With him, that defense probably moves up 10 spots, roughly, you know. Yeah, and then this year they've started to use him a lot as an edge rusher. So not only is he playing on the inside, but he's playing on the outside too. So, I mean, it's definitely a huge loss, and they definitely have to get him back. But this is how you know that roster, that defense is top-heavy and not really constructed the way, you know, one would want it. Because you don't want to see that big of a fall-off in performance just because one player is out. Now, obviously, yeah. If it's your quarterback, you're going to see that. But outside of the quarterback position, if you know, it's supposed to be next man up. But, man, and Daniel Sorensen on the back end, safety, he's been playing terrible. I mean, the entire secondary has been burnt toast. So
yeah, you gotta get pressure up front.
It's bad.
They're not doing it.
They might not win the division at this point. I never thought I would say that.
Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's looking like he's going to be out for a few weeks. Looked terrible before he even went out. Are the Chiefs in trouble here? Darrell Williams averaged 5 yards a carry. He's going to be getting more carries. But Patrick Mahomes was their leading rusher here, and that can't be your thing. Like, Pat, just you don't want to risk that.
You know what? Thank you for bringing that up. That was something that I wanted to point out during the game. Kansas City, they live on the big play, on that 20-plus yard play. I believe they led the NFL last year in big plays. I don't even know for sure, but damn, they had to.
It's a solid guess, if not.
Guess what? Against the Bills, they only had two plays for more than 20 yards, and one of those plays was a Patrick Mahomes scramble for 23. So the key to beating the Kansas City Chiefs, mitigate the big play. Mitigate the big play, and you got a shot.
Force them to go the whole length of the field. And that brings up another point, CJ. They brought it up in the broadcast, and it's recognizable that the Bills were trying to do that. And that's exactly the same game plan Tampa Bay had against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and it worked in Buffalo. Again, testament to their coaching staff, their scouts, the people who are doing the film reviews and things like that. It's a huge testament to that whole organization being able to put that game plan together, looking at those aspects, going that far back, doing what they did on offense, using some Ravens run game elements, and then on defense, looking at how Tampa Bay attack. Yeah, that's how you do it. And that's why they're a championship caliber team.
Two things before we go with them. Josh Gordon, shout out. Welcome back to the league. First reception back. And then Emmanuel Sanders. Now, I've caught some smack on my love of Emmanuel Sanders. I am a bit of a fanboy. I've always loved the man. But, man, he is turning into a nice little weapon in this Bills offense, especially in the red zone.
I stuck a fork in him last year.
I know, you did. You're too early.
The reincarnation, look, I stick forks in players. It's not because I want to, though. So, like, I'm happy he's making a resurgence. He looks good in that red, white, and blue with the number one and catching passes from Josh Allen, man.
Reminds
so,
me of
I'm happy for
Thomas
Sanders.
In college.
Yeah, and you know what? That Bills team, like, they're deep at receiver. Yeah. They're deep on offense. I mean, they have guys that started on the offensive line last year that actually got demoted this season. And then you think about it, you got two legit backs in Zach Moss and Singletary, and you also got Matt Breida, and then you got tons of depth on the outside, and Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis, Emmanuel Sanders, Stephon Diggs. So Dawson Knox at tight end.
Yeah.
Man, forget about, you know,
are we worried about Stephon Diggs in fantasy?
No.
You sure? He's spreading the ball around a lot.
Yeah, nah, give it time.
Yeah.
He's right now he's sitting at 17 with 374 yards, but only one touchdown.
He'll get his. I think the scheduling, yeah, you have to account for that. Like the Chiefs schedule so far, Browns, Ravens, Chargers, Eagles, and Bills. The Chiefs schedule will lighten up a hair. They're going to get theirs. I wouldn't be too concerned about the Chiefs, for example. The Bills, they're going to have some stiffer competition as time goes on as well. We'll find out more about them, but they look the part. I wouldn't worry about the Chiefs not being able to make a comeback from this, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
They might not lose another game for the season.
you never know.
May not. So one last game before we go. There was a few.
I want to throw another game in.
It's on
working
the
overtime.
It's on the list. The Bengals and Packers. It was just like, well, there's not much to say here. The Bengals missed a game winning field goal. The Packers,
yeah, that's
missed
the only
like
reason that's
four
on the list.
Game winning field goals. I mean, it was a missed field goal party. It was nothing I'd ever
this
seen.
It's crazy because Max Crosby has been one of the most dependable kickers for about the last decade to 15 years, right? So to see him miss three consecutive field goals before he finally hit one. You know what I want to talk about from this game, man?
Aaron Rodgers, how much I just dislike him, man.
He's just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. It's just body language.
Why I traded
awful.
Him.
Awful. And you just need to get rid of him, man. Like, you know what?
Still winning your games.
Oh, my gosh, man. Like... Like I seen this man get mad because I don't know, I guess he had to check to an audible or something, and I just don't like his body language. Every time you portray that type of negative body language, that is directed towards your teammates and towards your coaches. And that's not cool with me, man. You know I'm a diva. You know I like to talk smack, yada, 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 whatever, whatever. But when you are a quarterback and in a position of leadership, that shit is unacceptable, man. Yeah. I am 100% off this Aaron Rodgers train. He's a great player, man. I was kind of on his side. I've loved his career up until now. Great player. But, man, yo, give me a number two. Here, take Aaron Rodgers back.
Nah, I mean, if you're the
round pick?
No, I'm saying give me a number two with cheese.
Oh.
Well, dang.
I mean, bro, the hate's gone unrational at this point. Like, the man's still winning them games.
Man, trade that man. Let's see some love.
Send him to the Steelers.
Jordan
Send him
Love
to the
looked
Raiders.
Pretty good. He's showing some flashes.
Send him to the Steelers. For three firsts.
I'd love to see him on the Steelers.
There you go.
I think that'd be
done deal. We there.
There it is.
Get him on the phones.
Imagine Chase Claypool with Aaron Rodgers placing the ball. Oh, my God.
All those receivers, even Juju, if he was still there.
Yeah, I was going to say no.
Well, Deontay Johnson is going to drop his fair share of passes, so you know we're going to see a lot of bad Aaron Rodgers body
language when that. He's just rolling his eyes.
See, before we go, Panthers and Eagles, you got any not Panthers and Eagles, Cowboys and Giants. You know, it's the squads.
You know, the Giants were who we thought they were.
Yes, they were.
You play to win the game.
Statement win.
That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
Glad you guys have one.
Dallas looks good.
Not my quarterback.
Dallas looks like a contender. They look the part. Still too early to say. I try not to be biased when it comes to my favorite team, so I'm still holding back my judgment, but they look phenomenal. They didn't even play their best Sunday, and they won by three touchdowns. So,
yeah.
Dallas is kind of looking.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, real quick. Dallas is kind of looking just like the Patriots with the Bills back in the day before Josh Allen, and the Dolphins with Tom Brady. Just going to kind of like breeze through the division and win it with ease every year if it continues this way. But I'll let you guys move forward.
Yeah, that's Dak's division now. If you
Saquon, yeah, no,
that's Dakota's division now. You heard?
Saquon's having some of the worst luck, string of luck, the last two seasons I've ever seen on a player.
I know, man. My boy Jordan Lewis twisting his ankle on his foot.
Crazy,
right?
Hey,
Darius, you know, Tony, though, give me a little hope. Hope
Tony looks good. He's a dog. He's stupid, but he's a dog. Brandon, I know during the fantasy show earlier this year when we were just kind of, you know, looking at our rankings, I know you weren't overly critical, but I remember you saying, well, Dalvin Cook seems maybe a bit low. Christian McCaffrey seems a bit low. Saquon Barkley seems a bit low. They've all missed games this year, and that is why they were a bit low.
Well, there you go. Sometimes that is it. That's the fastability.
Availability. Right?
We got to write a single for that so we can just do a sound drop. All right, y'all. That's going to wrap up our NFL weekend in review. And it was a great show today, guys. I had a lot of fun. We went over a lot of stuff, a lot of fantasy implications, some MVP talk. Brandon got his second trivia question right. And that's going to wrap it up for us here today, guys. Check out Brandon's footballscout365.com and check us out at the number 5 toolsportspodcast.com. Can I hear some music? We out. Brum, brum, brum.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.